Hey everybody, it's your boy Buzz from Bulls on Tap and Sox on Tap, brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. And I want to talk to you about something. These podcasts are now presented by Manscaped. If you're looking for the best manscaping products on the planet, go to Manscaped.com and browse their awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0 brings you 7,000 RPMs of skin-safe technology so you don't nick your balls or any other sensitive areas. Want to keep your boys fresh all day? No problem. Go and pick up the ball toner and deodorant so you're fresh all day long. Go to Manscaped.com and use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping and handling on all your manscaping needs. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude, as always, Goose, aka Bull Scripted. And it is NBA Draft Eve right now. In about 24 hours, we will be hosting a live draft party. If you want details to that, please reach out to Goose, Cody, or myself. We'll be having a live Zoom, meeting, if you will, and we will be on Twitter broadcasting that live. So we're going to give out that Zoom key to anybody that wants to join, and we'll be basically talking with a bunch of Bulls fans and watching the draft together. Goose and I will probably duck out couple picks after the Bulls pick so we can get to the podcast episode, but I wanted to throw that out there. Before we get into this episode, be sure you're going to OnTapSportsNet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at OnTapSportsNet. Follow my dude Goose at Bull Scripted, and following me at Buzz on Tap. Goose, it's NBA Draft Eve. I got a bunch of beer because I'm ready to go, but I'm cracking them right now. Dude, I don't know what they're going to do yet. I know you don't know what they're going to do yet. But are you excited or are you nervous? Or is it both?
I'm fucking scared, bro.
You're scared?
I'm scared, man. Like, everybody that we've been linked to is just not a top five prospect.
So the Patrick Williams hype, you're not in on that is what you're telling me. You're not in on a guy who's a raw offensive talent but has the potential to be a lockdown NBA defender, and he has not averaged over 10 points a game in college. You don't want to take him at four?
I can't say that I'm not, because I am always the potential risk over reward guy, and if you're looking at his measurables and his, in the same breath, intangibles, because it being that size and that athletic is not something tangible for somebody who's not gifted that, it's hard for me to sit here and just be like adamantly against it. We've supposedly invested all this money in the development aspect of our management system and shit. I mean, I guess if that's the fuck you think at number four is, you know, the best player available, maybe he's the next Brandon Ingram and we just don't fucking know it because he's the youngest prospect in the draft, but this is not my idea of a top four pick. And I did laugh, and I was just holding back my laughter as you brought us in here because you mentioned, well, we'll know tomorrow. And I didn't even realize it at the time, but you put out a tweet. Wasn't about the same topic, but it pretty much was, this is the rumor, this is that, and we'll know tomorrow. And less than 2 minutes later, I put out a similar tweet that ended with the same message. Different topics, but same message at the end of that. That cracked me up that we're in the same frame of mind.
Well, yeah, we have to be. I mean, how they've been quiet, like, right? Okay, go with me here. They've been quiet, but they have also been a little loud. Because, or is it loud through channels that don't make sense? Are people just trying to say things to blow these smoke screens, if you will? Or is there actually fire where the smoke is? I don't know. Like, you know, I can't tell. And I've been pretty outspoken through this whole thing that if the Bulls do trade back, I'd be okay with that, depending on what they do bring back. Now, there is a trade that I'd like to discuss And this one comes down to New Orleans, and this was a tweet that I put out earlier. And that was if the Bulls were going to be doing, you know, what was it? New Orleans was trying to move up into the top five, I think it was, or top, you know, something like that. And I was saying, I believe they have 13, if I'm correct off the top of my head. And I was saying something about bringing Lonzo Ball over here. And I still am with that. I know you brought up a great point that he is a restricted free agent, so we need to make it worthwhile. Well, this 2021 NBA draft, and I know we don't have a lot of film, man, so I don't want to get attacked for it, but 2021's got a lot of talent, too. So if I can grab the 13th pick, maybe even their later pick, which I believe was somewhere like 26th, maybe, something like that.
2-4, Kobe Bryant, 2-4.
2-4, 2-4, there you go. I would love to bring Lonzo Ball over, and that's something that I would consider giving up the 4th pick to do. We would actually have to make, you know, I just threw Chandler Hutchinson in that trade machine thing that you sent me to make that work. Hutchinson in the 4th for Lonzo in the 13th. I don't know how serious they are, and I'm not suggesting that would be the trade, but that would make the salaries work. So I don't know how desperate they are to get into the top five, but that's something that I'm interested in. But I'm also interested in trying to take a talent that's going, we could build this team around. And a lot of people don't like LaMelo, man. And I'm really starting to find that out more and more as we get closer and closer. I love the playmaking ability. I agree with everybody's, you know, concerns about the offensive side of the ball where he struggles shooting, the separation aspect of the game. But the thing is, I'm not bringing him over here to be my star scorer. I'm bringing him over here to get the ball to where it needs to go. And if he could start scoring, hey, he's only 19. Then he's going to be a dangerous player, and he's got size at his position. So, I don't know. It's just so hot and cold right now. That's where I was at with the little rumor that I tweeted out. It's not a rumor. It was just something that I was kind of, you know, I was playing off of a rumor. I'm going to let you speak on that before you get to the rumor that royally pissed you off.
Well, and ironically, as you're talking about bringing in Lonzo Ball, I put out a subsequent tweet, not even acknowledging your initial tweet saying, hey, look how many fucking picks New Orleans has right now. They just opened up a guard slot. Would they not be interested in Zach LaVine? Does Zach LaVine not compliment Zion Williamson? Yeah, I think Zach fits there pretty well. Probably more so if Lonzo stays there. And we're going to bring up the favorite word of last episode, trepidation.
Trepidation, stop it.
I'm hesitant to give up positive value for Lonzo Ball. If you're the Chicago Bulls and you have cap space heading into next offseason, and Lonzo Ball is somebody you covet, and you pass on drafting his brother or trading up for him, or whatever that situation may be that unfolds tomorrow, if you covet Lonzo Ball, you're better off waiting a year and just throwing money at him that New Orleans probably doesn't want to, and maybe even can't pay him because Brandon Ingram's about to get a max contract extension. Zion Williamson is owed a max contract extension down the road as long as he stays healthy. So right now for New Orleans, they've acquired a whole bunch of assets. For me, I see them trading Drew as, all right, no, we're not going to give Lonzo up for pennies on the dollar. His potential's there. We saw what he did, you know, before the bubble, before we got put in this awkward situation. And Lonzo looked like a lock-in fit for both Ingram and Zion there. So yeah, as much as I won't really hate on your trade proposal here, to go from 4 to 13 while giving up Hutch to get a restricted free agent in Lonzo, it don't make sense to me. And it maybe I'm too young Scottie Pippen, as Stacy would say on Hutch, but I think he brings a lot of the things that you want from Lonzo. You want defensive versatility. You want a wing. You want somebody. Hutch can play 2 through 4. Lonzo can probably play 1 through 3 on the right roster in the right situation. So at least on the defensive aspect, I think Hutch brings similar to what Lonzo does, and Lonzo's shot at this point just isn't there for me. And if the Bulls feel he is, I'd rather them throw bigger money than New Orleans is comfortable matching in the offseason where we project to have cap space.
That's a great point. I mean, that's definitely a great point, you know, without having to, you know, get rid of our pick and do it that way. I understand that. I get that. It puts them in a bad situation instead of putting us in a bad situation down the road, which makes a ton of sense. I just don't know. I mean, you've known this since the day I've been obsessed. I love Lonzo Ball's game, and I like his game. He's 6'6" point guard. I think he's a little bit more athletic than his brother. I don't know, but to your point the other night, I don't think that he has the court vision that LaMelo does. I think that even though while being an elite passer, Lonzo is an elite passer, but again, to your point the other night on the podcast, there just seems to be another level to LaMelo's game. Obviously, the defense, I look at Lonzo with as being a good wing defender, somebody I'd like to invest in, with pretty much seeing the departure of Chris Dunn and probably Shaq Harrison. That's
Oh,
something we should talk
no.
about too.
Not probably. Shaq is just as gone as Chris at this point.
Yeah.
Shaq's qualifying offer was under $2 million. The
Yeah.
Bulls not extending that out makes it very unlikely that he returns unless somewhere they free up roster space and he doesn't find another team. But no, this is a hard topic for me because we're both still living on Dunn Island.
Me was me it was me you and Fred. It was me, you and
But
Fred.
and we're all packing up our tent and gathering our shit and sending out flares and saying, "Come fucking get us. They're leaving us here." And I don't want to get too upset about it, but at the same time, for a fan base that got extremely pissed off about selling a second round pick that was Jordan Bell, to give up a past top five pick that has put up 17 assists in an NBA game, has established himself as an elite perimeter defender that has interest from contending teams like the Clippers. And that second round pick is probably going to be shit. And I don't expect Chris Dunn to bring a first round pick back. But if we're going to get upset about selling a second round pick when we don't have roster space, how are we not going to make a point about being pissed off about giving up a player that was drafted in the top five that was probably the biggest part of the Jimmy Butler trade? Because Zach LaVine was coming off an ACL injury, and we had to trade 16th to get Lowry at 7. So, for the biggest piece, arguably, in the Jimmy Butler trade to be let go for free instead of offering him a qualifying offer at $7 million, when the Bulls don't have cap space and free agency, their only options are operating over the cap with bird rights of players that they have the rights to. Mid-level exceptions and minimum contracts. How are you letting that walk out the door for free? In that same breath, I need to see what happens after draft night.
Right. It's hard to comment on, right? Because I'm sitting here trusting an Acme, but when I did see Chris Dunn just walk for free, listen, Chris Dunn is I'm not going to say elite, but he is a very above average good perimeter defender.
He's the only fucking player on this team last year that got any vote for all NBA anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And people don't like to talk about that because a lot of fans focus on what you do on offense. Chris Dunn was great defensively. And to watch him just walk, pretty much here, walking away, it sucks a little bit because I do think, well, I mean, again, this is a new era. It's not like AK and Mark could have done anything after the COVID-ridden season like it happened. They couldn't have moved him. That's on the old regime.
No, Chris once again had an untimely injury that hindered the Bulls from getting positive value from him before entering this stage. But to see him walk for free hurts. It might only be a second, but you traded Jimmy fucking Butler for this dude. Biggest piece, the only healthy known quantity in that trade before Lauri Markkanen took off in his rookie year because Bobby broke Nico's face. Like, that's hard. I can't swallow that pill confidently and just be happy knowing that Chris Dunn's going to sign somewhere, contribute to a contending team, which is what we're trying to be, and probably take less money to go somewhere else. That just tells me we fucked up with Chris Dunn here.
Yeah, I'm not happy about the Chris Dunn shit. Again, walking for free is something that I didn't want to see happen. This is actually a topic that I can trace back to, I think it was like Bulls on Tap in the episode, like in the 40s or something like that. We were saying, trade him if he ain't gonna, don't let him walk. You got to trade him now. You get, and this was before all the bullshit started going down with COVID. We're like, well, you need to trade him now. And obviously, you know, Gar and Pax didn't get that done, and AK came in too late. AK came in post COVID where everything was shit hitting the fan, you know? There was no transitions happening or transactions, I'm sorry, happening at that time. So basically, they both kind of got fucked in that sense. Moving on from Chris, let's go into a guy that did get a qualifying offer, and that's Denzel Valentine. I like Denzel. I've told you this before. I like Denzel. I think he's got a pretty good shooting touch. You know, above average passer. Unfortunately, he's not athletic enough to create for himself nor other teammates. He's the kind of guy that needs players that can move without the ball near him to really make him effective while he's out on the court like that. But he gets a qualifying offer, and I'm looking at this, and he's a sniper. You know, Denzel can shoot. Kind of seeing AK's thought process here. He wants to keep a guy who can hit threes consistently on the team. Generally interested on what your thoughts are with that.
No, I know a lot of fans are probably as pissed off about Denzel getting a qualifying offer as I am about Chris Dunn not getting one. But this is not a topic where I felt where it was a decision between the two. I'm glad that Denzel got a qualifying offer. Who in the second round or in free agency, when you don't have cap space and you're offering veteran players that want to go to contenders for less money, they'll take less money to go win a ring than come to Chicago, trying to offer them a mid-level exception to get a better shooter than Denzel that we don't have on this roster. Zach LaVine, obviously, is a great volume three-point shooter. We hope Lauri Markkanen becomes a great three-point shooter, and all things suggest that in terms of free throw percentage. But outside of Zach, you don't have a current player on this roster that is a volume spacer that also has the upside of secondary playmaking as Denzel. Jim Boylan screwed the kid. So is his feet and his injuries throughout his career since college. It's the only reason he ever fell to 14th to begin with. But I am not at all upset with that contract. I was hoping the Bulls would find a way to move Satoransky to a team with cap space and retain both Chris Dunn and Denzel Valentine on qualifying offers.
I got you on that. Now, I want to get to the juicy juice. All right? I want to get to the juicy juice here, man. All right, bro. Kemba Walker. We're seeing the rumors fly around. I don't know really what to think about it, my friend. You know, we've already talked about Patrick Williams a little bit with that rumor being really, really far up there right now and being kind of the hot rumor of the day. Now, I don't know how hot of a rumor this really is, but a lot of people are talking about it on Twitter right now. You've had some interactions. I just logged on to Twitter on my laptop here, and we got Fred tweeting about it. We got C-Red Fred tweeting about it. Would you like me to read his tweet to you real quick?
Well, I don't think I have a choice. So
you don't, because I was going to read it anyway. So it says, I suspect Ainge is offering Kemba Walker and two or three of his number ones to the Beloved, which if people don't know what the Beloved is, that's the Bulls, for number four, Otto Porter Jr., and another non-core four to make the numbers work. Would you support this trade? I don't know. That's a lot. But we're also getting a guy for the next 3 years who's making $35 million a year. So I don't know how you feel about this. When he puts it like Fred's take here, I don't think we're going to get that much just to take Kemba Walker. Okay, because newsflash, anybody who has a fucking iPhone or a smartphone, whatever, the internet, knows that half of Bulls Nation can't stand fucking Otto Porter Jr. Why? Not because of his game. Because he can't stay on the floor. And then when he is hurt, he's fucking getting down at clubs during the season. That's why a lot of people were upset at him during the season. He was hurt constantly. Was it a foot injury? Was it not? Was it misdiagnosed? Terrible training staff that we had. Totally. I totally agree with that. But go ahead and take him. He's on an expiring contract, though. But if I can add a couple first-round picks, I guess I'll kick the tires on it, but I don't think I want to, because going into 2021 free agency, I like where we're going to be at if we stand pat where we're at right now. I think we're going to have some room. And that room is kind of desirable, and we're probably going to have another high draft pick, because I don't know how good the Bulls will be. I don't want to say they'll be in the lottery next year, but I'm not 100% sure either. We got to see the product on the court first. But what are you thinking about this, man? I mean, that scenario I just read off to you, are you on the fence about that? Or are you just like, no, fuck that. That's $35 mil a year. Keep that in mind.
No, I think the Celtics are trying to shovel their dog shit over the fence, and I'm sitting here with some fucking saran wrap just bouncing that shit back over, because I can't. What does Kemba Walker do for you? He has played more playoff games for the Boston Celtics in one fucking season than he did for every season that he participated in Charlotte. What does Kemba Walker give you that Zach LaVine and Coby White together don't? Kemba averages 5 fucking assists per game, and in the playoffs shot 31% from three-point land. What are you getting that you don't already have?
I've got one
without
thing for
paying
you
more.
Got one thing that what? You're getting that you don't already have. Possibly a worse defensive backcourt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Exactly. So, unless Boston is paying the Chicago Bulls, and I ain't sending any fucking draft picks back. You're taking Otto Porter Jr. and Felicio to max that $35 million contract that's extended for another 3 years, because Kemba ain't turning down that player option in his third year for $37 million. Get the fuck out of here. I have no interest in that contract. And not only is it a bad contract, but you're looking at a conference opponent who is well ahead of you in absolutely every facet of contention with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum locked down. They now have Hayward, who wants to get the fuck out of there. I almost called him a Cubs player. That was messed up. I apologize.
You almost said Jason Hayward.
I almost said Jason instead of Gordon. And I caught myself and I went. So you have two max players that one wants out of there, the other one that they are trying to ship the fuck out of there to get anything else back. What does that tell you? Oh, we fucked up. We got to reshuffle again. I know we've made the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row, but the East sucks. The Bucks just got a lot better, and Kyrie and KD are going to be on the same team next year, and it might be adding Harden. So we just became the fourth or fifth seed, and that don't feel too good, and Kemba Walker ain't helping us. So if I'm the Chicago Bulls, I am not taking Kemba Walker without you paying me to fucking do it. And I don't think Kemba Walker's bad. I'm just saying, if you want to reshuffle your roster, Danny Ainge, pay me. Because otherwise, take a hike. Deal with it. Live with it. Suck it up. Be a champ.
Well, okay, so to that point then, with Fred's proposed trade, is that something you're into with adding maybe 2 or 3 first-round picks back to do that trade?
But did I not hear fourth was included in this proposal?
Proposal? Yeah, no, 4 is included. And that's something that I... That's why I sat there and I started questioning myself, is because, okay, cool, yeah, I'm down with these future first-round picks, but Kemba Walker for the fourth pick right now, and I'm going to be honest with you, like, say hypothetically you're Danny Ainge, I'm AK, whatever, and you come to me and you go, hey, I'll give you Kemba Walker for the fourth, and I'll give you a couple. No, I don't want that. I don't want that.
It's the Chicago Bulls. I'm sitting at number 4 going like this. LaMelo Ball doesn't fit in Minnesota. If they stay at 1, they're taking Anthony Edwards. Golden State, they don't need and or want LaMelo. They need an instant impact, not a high-ceiling player. They're probably going to take a big man that can combat with Anthony Davis. Oh, James Wiseman, hello, how are you doing? The Charlotte Hornets are supposedly the most interested team in acquiring Russell Westbrook because of his affiliation with the Jordan brand. Oh, wait, guess what? That means they wouldn't take LaMelo Ball at number 3 either. So, oh, what? LaMelo Ball's falling to me at number 4. If you're the Chicago Bulls and you don't covet LaMelo and you don't see his upside, well, guess what? You just fell into the best fucking prize that you could have asked for, because the New York Knicks, the Detroit Pistons, and a whole bunch of teams behind you are going to pay the field to get that man on their roster from their current position. So at four, no, I don't want to trade for Kemba Walker. No, I don't want to trade Zach LaVine for Kemba Walker. I think Kobe and Zach present a lot higher upside at a cheaper value than Kemba in the next 3 years. No, stay the fuck away.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I hate when we agree with everything each other says, but that's I can't deny it, man. I mean, that's just I wouldn't do it just because I'm not giving up four. Now, if you're gonna pay me and let me keep four, okay.
No, you're gonna pay me? Let me keep four. Let me keep Zach LaVine. Let me keep all my core pieces. I'm sending you Otto Porter Jr. and Felicio, so you get a player that'll contribute this
You
season.
get two. You get two that are on expiring contracts as well. So let's not forget that. You get two of those
Oh
players.
no, that's the biggest point. You get to go to the glorified 2021 free agency with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and free cap space to bring in a star that puts you in contention with the Nets or whoever else lands James Harden on top of their current core.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess we're in the same boat. I want to hear from all the listeners too. You know, tweet at us. I just put out a funny picture when we got all heated and how our faces looked. It's pretty fucking awesome. That should be our new picture for Twitter there. All right, well, we're gonna take a couple questions here, and before we take these questions, I want to just throw this out here. I said it at the beginning of the episode. Tomorrow around 5:30 is when I think we're gonna be going live here. I'll put out a tweet. You could follow me at Buzz on Tap, and I'll be putting out a tweet from Bulls on Tap. At Bulls on Tap on Twitter, saying what time that we're going to be going live here for our draft party. Usually we're together for these things, but this year we will not be, unfortunately, due to COVID. So we're gonna do a virtual draft party with a lot of the On Tap Bulls writers, myself, Goose, and I heard a couple other people, some surprising people might stop by to that. So just stay tuned for that. But let's get into a couple questions. We got a couple questions here. We'll hit these. We'll get into our closing thoughts on what we think is going to happen, or we'll just keep giving the generic answer, like I don't fucking know, but please God, let it be good. That's just kind of where I sit right now. So, first question, Goose, what players traded away or acquired that are feasible would you be most upset about coming in to tomorrow's draft?
That question has confused the hell out of me. Am I concerned about who we could trade for, or am I more concerned about who we're trading away?
I think it's a little bit of both. And what would be feasible? What would you be most upset about going into tomorrow's draft is basically that. Would you be upset? I'm assuming this question is worded like, would you be upset to for this Kemba thing to trade Zach away for something? You know, something along those lines.
Okay, all right. Well, if we're trading any of the core four away for anything other than a better rookie contract of a player with higher potential, I'll be pissed. Point blank. Point blank, fucking period. There's nobody on this roster currently worth more to me than LaMelo Ball. And there's not a player on the trade market outside of James Harden who you'd have to trade for Zach, Lowry, Wendell, and everything just to get him on your roster for, that I'm really confident in going, oh yeah, I want that guy over what we got. I just don't see it.
Okay, that's totally fair. So the things that I would be upset about is basically what kind of Goose just said. Like, I don't want to give up any potential, you know, out of the core four. Who I'm not a huge on the WCJ train. I know there's some guys on Bulls Twitter that are, and like to make fun of you that you're not because they see some sort of potential there that I don't really think is there. But whatever. I don't want to see any of the core four move for guys that aren't as good as them, and I do not want to see the Bulls muster this opportunity to be in the top four. 3 years, guys. We've been a lottery team 3 years. 3 years in a row, we picked seven, which it is hard to find good talent when you start getting down in that lottery. Yeah, you could hit a diamond in the rough. Shit, Lowry could be that. So could Kobe. No doubt. No doubt. Wendell Carter Jr. is a good NBA player, and I think that he will flourish under Billy Donovan. I think that he will be good. So, you know, but I don't want to see a guy like Patrick Williams there. I don't want to see a guy like Killian Hayes there. I don't want to see a guy like Tyrese Haliburton at four. I don't want to see a guy like here Lewis Jr. at four. I don't want to see that. So that would be the thing that pisses me off tomorrow because I don't. And hey, there's a reason I'm not a fucking scout, all right? There's a reason that I work at a trucking company as a terminal manager, and me and my buddy podcast talk about the Bulls and drink whiskey and beer. Like, that's, I mean, it's just a hobby. I don't do this for a living. but I've watched a lot of basketball in my life. I've been a fan of it my whole life. I played it competitively for fun, whatever. I want to see them make the most out of this pick. And honestly, I know this is horrible to say. I'm going to support whatever they do, but when it's a new era like this, I want them to fucking swing for the fences. And that's where I'm kind of at. Swing for the fences. See if you can get the best available. Whoever in your mind is the best talent in the draft, since you're so close to one, go for it. That's what I kind of want to see.
No, that's it. Point blank, period. If you just hired Billy Donovan, you are not planning on tanking next year. If you are going to be in the lottery in the East next season, it's because you took a big swing and missed. And in this current spot at four, where we hope to never be again without Derrick Rose-style luck, you have to take the fucking swing. Because if you do anything else and you fall in mediocrity, you are not going to be favored for that decision. And in a trade back, the extra that you acquire is going to be more important to me than the player that you decided to settle for instead of taking the swing. But if you're settling for another late first in this draft that everybody wants to get out of, what does that prove to me? That does nothing. I hope that there is a greater plan for the likely only top five pick that we are going to receive for the last 3 years of bullshit that we went through, that we willingly accepted and traded into. But if we went through this for 3 years to draft a role player at number four without acquiring extra value and exploring a different option further back, or trading up to get somebody who projects to be the best player on this team, I'm going to have a problem. I really am, and that's messed up to say less than 6 months into the tenure of a new front office. But if we aren't going to make positive changes and make gambles that needed to be made with the previous regime, why the fuck did we move on? We're just going to accept mediocrity again? We traded out of Jimmy Butler instead of giving him a max contract to bring Kemba Walker in to pay him $37 million a year? Get the fuck out of here. I will flip my fucking lid. I don't care.
Everybody stay tuned for that, the draft party tomorrow night, because that's going to be something crazy. Another question. Oh, this guy DM'd me. I'm not really sure why. I don't know if you want to remain private, but I'll leave you private. But next time, bud, if you listen to the podcast, we're not mean guys. Well, most of the time, we're not mean guys. But he asks, which team holds the key for the Bulls to land LaMelo Ball tomorrow? And my answer right off the bat, Charlotte. And the reason I bring up Charlotte is I'm going to tell you why. If they are actually interested in Russell Westbrook and bringing him over, they're going to go big man. And I can't pronounce this motherfucker's name, so you're going to have to help me. Onyeka Okongwu, him, that name, right there, that guy, from USC, that's the
Onyeka,
guy.
Onyeka Okongwu, I think is close.
I'm on beer two, so you got to forgive me a little bit, buddy. I'm on beer two here. You got to forgive me. Been drinking. It's been a nice day. So, but yeah, I think that Charlotte holds the key here, honestly. And, you know, that's what it is. If they trade for Russ and they draft a big man, that then LaMelo falls into our pocket. Because I'm convinced, Goose, that Anthony Edwards is going one. Didn't you just bring up, like, 5 minutes ago? James Wiseman is probably going to go two, because look at this roster. Look at Golden State. Even if they don't move Wiggins, it's fucking Steph. It's Clay. It's I'm going to include Wiggins. It's Wiggins. It's Dre. You bring in Wiseman, who they're saying could be a transcendent talent. I mean, it's almost fucking unfair that they have the second pick in the draft. It's almost like the basketball gods are like, fuck you guys, California, die. You know, like...
It's almost like the Spurs getting Tim Duncan all over again.
Exactly. That's a perfect scenario to put up to that. That's a perfect scenario to put up with that. So I think they go Wiseman. Maybe they won't draft for need. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I think it's going to go Edwards. I think it's going to go Wiseman. And then it depends on what Charlotte does. Because if Charlotte goes and gets themselves a point guard, they're not drafting LaMelo Ball. I highly
See,
doubt it. Especially Charlotte
and
being point guard heavy. Devontae Graham, Terry Rozier, they're set at that position. I mean, not saying that you don't draft for the best talents available, but some teams do draft for need. Some teams do that. So.
so my key is the exact same as yours, but for the opposite reason. The Charlotte Hornets are the key because if they do pursue Russell Westbrook, they do not need a point guard. They do need a big, but at that position with number three, do they not field offers from New York or Detroit to move up to that spot to get LaMelo with him still being on the board as the potential top prospect in this draft? That is where they become the key factor for me. And it could go your way, it could go my way. But in this draft, Charlotte is going to be the key because if Anthony Edwards goes one, LaMelo's not going two. What happens at three? Does somebody trade up? The Bulls have to give something up to move up one spot to overpay somebody willing to engage in those conversations? I don't know.
We got another trade rumor that just came out here. The Atlanta Hawks are in play to acquire Boston Celtics forward Gordon Hayward. So, I mean, this is just silly season right now, bro. It's silly season. We could be doing this shit all night, honestly.
Wait. You mean the Hawks don't need Cam Reddish anymore? How can I get in there?
Oh, please. Please, for the love of God, are you kidding? I tweeted that out the other day, and people started telling me how stupid of a take that was, that Cam Reddish is trash. Go look at his numbers after fucking January and get back to me, you idiots.
Wait. You saw those damn near 50, 40, 90 numbers from the wing with Trae Young dominating the ball? Okay. I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
You weren't. No, there's a ton of Bulls fans that are definitely into it, but there's a lot of Bulls fans that weren't either. And it was just so odd to me. I was like, I think that he has a really good game, and I think he'd compliment Kobe White pretty good, personally. I also feel like if Kobe White will be the off guard, if that is the plan, because the Bulls have been rumored for a veteran playmaker or a playmaker in general. Cam does not need the ball to be successful, what you just pointed out. The kid can move without the fucking ball. And he's athletic.
And he outperformed Atlanta's defensive guru in DeAndre Hunter, who they traded up for in every defensive statistic last year.
Just saying, man. Just saying. Well, that's all I got. We had a couple more, man, but I want to get to this last part of the episode here. And I know we said that we were going to record Tuesday when we recorded Thursday, and I wasn't sure if it was going to happen or not. I can't really go to anybody that listens to the show right now and say, yeah, this is what I think they're going to do. I have no fucking clue, and I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Now, I will give what do you, it's not a prediction, because a prediction is something that you're seeing coming. So, I mean, a guesstimation, is that fair?
That's a mix of words that might equate to what you're trying to do, yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna give a guesstimation here, man, and I'm gonna go the Bulls stand pat at four, and it's gonna be one of three guys drafted there. And I know that's broad. I know it is. I know.
We're picking four, and we're gonna take one of three guys. Here
Yes,
they are.
here they are. It's gonna be either Tyrese Halliburton, it's either gonna be Denny, and it's either gonna be see, I don't want to say this. I don't want it to be him. I do not want it to be Patrick Williams. I don't. So, but I, again, where there's smoke, sometimes there's fire, or there's a smoke screen. I can't tell which one it is, but that is going to be my guesstimation right now. And the reason that is my guesstimation is because I am a Chicago fan at heart, and I know all too well about the letdown. So that's where I'm at.
All right, well, I'm going to start out with the positive, and the positive is you didn't say Obi
Oh my God. Did you see Fred
Toppin.
tweet at us? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Did you see Fred tweet? I didn't agree with you about Obi Toppin. Like, Fred, what do you like about Obi Toppin's game? I'm serious. Like, what do you justify liking about his game that you would put him top four? Seriously.
I'm not going to touch that topic. I'm
Okay.
just going to say that at least with Patrick Williams, you are getting the youngest player in the draft who does have the measurables, the athleticism, and the potential to become something. Do I ever see Patrick Williams as a top five pick? No. I see him more as a late lottery swing there. Like if you're picking 10, that's your biggest swing. oh, there's no clear cut, instant impact, transcendent player. Let me take this guy with the measurables that has the potential to reach a ceiling that somebody in the top five might have. He's not somebody I could confidently take in the top five. And I hope all this misdirection and all the, well, we didn't attend the Melo Ball's workout is all just leverage to, we don't want the Melo Ball. Why do you want the Melo Ball? You sure you want the Melo Ball? Nobody wants the Melo Ball. He sucks. He's less than Lonzo Ball. You can just trade for him. So let him fall to four and see what we do. That is my only hope here, because the best case scenario for the Chicago Bulls on draft night is Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball falling to number four without them having to give up extra assets to move up and still being put in the position to decide, does one of these players have a greater upside than every player on my talent, or can I sell that perception to a team behind me in the draft to get a fucking haul because the three teams in front of me made safer decisions than Ball or Edwards.
It's a great way, man. It's a great thought. This is where we leave you guys. We are 24 hours away until the draft party. The Bulls are going to pick it, like, what do you think, about 7 o'clock? Is that fair? 7 o'clock?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go 7:30. It's going to start 6:30 Central Time. They're going to have their introduction. Everybody gets 10, 15 minutes per pick. Let's go 7:30, 8 o'clock.
7:30, 8 o'clock for the Bulls. Okay. So Bulls will be picking at 7:30, 8 o'clock tomorrow. The Bulls draft party will start at about 6 to 6:30. That's here at OnTap Sportsnet. That's here with the Bulls on Tap guys. Me, Goose, Cody, Bulls guy Rob Wegley, Kevin Gora, Justin, Matt Berkland. All of us are going to be here to watch the draft together. So grab your favorite beer. Bring it with you. Get ready to talk some shit. And it's going to be fun, man. I will say, I know my guesstimation was a little bit pessimistic there, but I am very excited. I cannot build myself up for a letdown, and I've learned that from every Chicago team that I love. But I'm excited to see where this goes. Goose, any closing thoughts before you and I meet up tomorrow, man, for the draft here?
Doug McDermott and campaign PTSD be damned. Let's do something smart for once.
Jesus Christ. All right. Everybody be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at ontapsportsnet, at BullsOnTap. Follow my dude Goose at BullsScripted, and following me at BuzzOnTap. We will be back again tomorrow, guys. We'll be back again tomorrow with another podcast to recap what the Bulls did during the draft. But before that podcast is recorded, again, do not forget, reach out to me on Twitter at BuzzOnTap. Reach out to the at BullsOnTap to come join us on our Zoom live broadcast on Twitter draft party. Let's go, Bulls.
Business.